Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Great Debates podcast. It's good to be back in the Great Debates studios.
Woohoo! It feels good to be home.
This is nice. It's intimate.
It's relaxed.
Yeah.
There's nobody watching.
There's nobody watching.
But thanks to everybody who came out for the live one, by the way.
I thought that was super awesome.
It was fun. Great. Great turnout. People seem to have a fun time.
We'll do it again. And in fact, if you want us to come visit you, tell us what town you're in and where we could do it and that you could get a bunch of people there and we'd be glad to come visit.
God, if just 2 weeks of the year we went on the road and toured in a van, how great would that
a
be?
A van? We could do better.
Sweet. Yeah, let's.
A maybe sedan. We can.
RV.
Uber. I think we could get Uber Black. Is that what it's called?
Well, Uber, if maybe Uber would sponsor us.
Great idea.
Is it called it Uber Black? Well. Is that one of the levels?
Shouldn't we get right into it with a micro?
Yeah, that's usually what we do.
Yeah.
I have a topic.
Oh, great.
In mind.
Wonderful.
Okay, you guys ready?
Yep.
Steve, you want to jump in the pro on this?
Okay.
The topic for our micro debate today, submitted by listener Ian W. Thank you, Ian. $10,000 is a lot of money.
Well, of course it's a lot of money. The average American household, or the average American individual, I think, makes something like $32,000 a year. So we're talking about like a third of their annual income. It's a huge amount of money. Plus, that leaves out children to whom $10,000 is an insane amount of money. Children are probably, I don't know, a fourth to a third of the population. So to them, it's a huge amount of money. To most working people, it's a huge amount of money. Maybe not to Dave. Living high off the hog on his Netflix money. But to most Americans, $10,000 is an extremely high amount of money. You can buy a car. You could live in high style in Paris for weeks. You can do pretty much anything we associate with tremendous wealth. You could fly first class anywhere in the world. You could probably charter a plane for $10,000. So yeah, $10,000 is a lot of money. I don't have much more to say about it. I'm going to wrap up my opening statement with that and wait to hear John Q. Moneybags try to argue otherwise.
Your scope is too narrow. For one family, perhaps, $10,000 is a lot of money, but that's not the issue at hand. $10,000 is a lot of money? No. $10,000 is a drop in the bucket. The GDP of this country is in the trillions. Billions of dollars are wasted every day on things like clerical errors or simply lost. I mean, billions of dollars are lost every day in the Department of Defense. Just, and they don't know where it goes. $10,000 might be a lot for one family to be able to buy a car, which, by the way, it actually wouldn't be enough to buy most cars. But in the larger scheme of things, it's so narrow-minded of you to think of $10,000 from the perspective of one average American family. That's my opening statement.
I agree. So should we enter into free skate?
Yeah.
Look, I agree that compared to all the money in the world, $10,000 isn't that much.
It's not a lot compared to a minuscule percent of all the money in the world. It's not a lot of money compared to the operating budget of the smallest business that you could think of.
Okay, listen, you mentioned the Defense Department. So let's walk through a scenario where you're like a lieutenant and you're in charge of the buying, I don't know, stuff for your company's Christmas party. If you say, you go up to your commanding officer, let's say he's a major or something, you're like, Major, I spent $10,000 on the Christmas party. He would say, what? That is a ridiculous amount of the American taxpayers' money to waste on our Christmas party.
That's not how the Defense Department works. There's a certain amount of money that's allocated for the Christmas party. I don't know how much it is.
It would not be $10,000. If you heard it was $10,000, you'd be outraged because that's a lot of money.
If someone in the Navy said, got the new ashtrays came in and we got 40 ashtrays and they cost $10,000 and we're good to go, they would go, okay, great. That's how much ashtrays cost in the Navy, because you need to have a certain kind of ashtray that breaks in a way that won't injure people.
No. A year later, Congress, Senator,
if you're about to say the Congress holds the Defense Department responsible for their budget, you're way off base.
I'm looking at your accounting here, General. Maybe you can explain to me. $10,000... for 40 ashtrays?
But you know you're wrong. You know that any dollar spent by the defense... How do we get into the defense department?
Remember when they got really mad about that like $500 hammer or whatever? That's this comes up all the time. Like, yeah, the Congress doesn't do a great job of keeping an eye on the Defense Department.
And the budget only gets higher and higher.
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, what's your point? That the Defense Department spends a lot of money? Sure. $10,000. You know what? The debate's over. I can relax. Dave, it's your birthday.
Oh,
happy birthday,
buddy.
You're 28.
If we give you $10,000 for your birthday, would that be a nice present?
No, that would be a weird burden. It would be like, why did you do that? It's not going to make my life substantially better. It's only going to be a weird burden that I carry.
Right, yeah, because it's a lot of money,
it's just
right?
too much. It'd be obscene.
What would you do with it, do you think?
I don't know, maybe.
If I told you, here's $10,000, you have to spend it before the weekend's over.
I
you can't give it away. You've got to Bruce Church Millions.
I'd buy a big TV. I buy a big TV.
Okay.
And then, because I'm like, look, maybe I'm going to buy a TV at some point. I might use some of it to buy a new car.
Okay.
Can I do that?
Yep. Some of it.
Can I tell you something about my age, which mm-hmm. I'm disappointed by?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm 37 now.
Congrats.
And I hate the number 37, and yeah. so I don't like being 37. I've pointed this out before. The number 37 is the hackiest random number
yeah.
that people use mm-hmm. to signify randomness, when in fact it's not any more random than any other number.
It's almost to the point where, like, if somebody's using 37, I'm like, is that the joke itself?
Really?
Yeah.
It's gotten that bad?
I'm like, there's no way a real thinking writer is putting 37 as
their
random.
Oh, I think they are all the time, because yeah. it feels random. When you know the most commonly guessed, when people say guess a number between 1 and 100, the most commonly guessed number is 37.
Okay.
Because it feels random to people.
So you don't think word has gotten out about 37 being the most random?
No, not to most people. It has to you and me and four other, like, mathy jerks.
Next year you'll be 38.
That'll be great.
Who's the mathematician that said that actually one as a digit in front of other numbers is the most commonly occurring number in the natural world and even randomly decided numbers?
Wait, what?
If you took a sample of any kind of number, okay. whether it was a distribution of ages,
if we just had a big pot of numbers,
addresses,
yeah.
or whatever, the digit that would occur most commonly would be the number one, followed by other digits.
I would love to get some emails and stuff from the mathy folks out there, because I don't know anything about this.
Someone should suggest a topic around this.
You know, there was another scientist, I believe by the name of Nilsson, who said that one is the loneliest number. And that is one of the worst jokes I've ever made.
Jokes
and
are
I
funny.
Apologize.
I write down a lot of little things for host chat, so I always have a little tidbit or something to throw out.
Uh-huh. What do you got?
Well, the other night, somebody said to me, and we were hanging out with people and we were talking about cats. Sometimes we talk about cats. I have a cat. And somebody said, cats see humans as
other
big cats.
Yeah,
right.
Heard
and
that.
I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then I was thinking about it later and I was like, how the fuck would they figure out what a cat thinks a human is
right.
another cat? And then I was telling that to our friend Jake, who had just been in South Africa on safari. He's a doctor and he was like doing doctor stuff down there. And he said that they were taking him out on safari. He's in a big thing and they're going by some lions, honest to goodness lions out there in the savannah.
None of those fake lions they try to sell you on.
And so the lions are looking them over at the car full of humans. And the guide says, don't worry, the lions just see this as a big lion.
It's so weird.
The car.
Yeah. And he was like, how do you know that?
Right.
Maybe they see us as a huge gazelle they're going to chomp the hell out of.
Right.
But then maybe lions see everything as a lion. They don't have words.
It's very narcissistic of them.
Well, they don't have the word lion, so they might just think that is
I
thing.
Was just...
if I'm this, then everything must be
right,
this.
Exactly. Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think usually about myself. I wondered last night if a cat that ran out of my way while I was driving thought that my car was an animal, or if they get that, because cars go to sleep and don't move for a long time.
Oh, just like yes. animals.
Right. So do they think that they're alive that are sleeping? Or do they,
cats will often climb into a warm car to find a little place to sleep. Do they think they're cuddling in for a real nice warm
maybe
hug?
Yeah. They feel, yeah, maybe they feel like they're returning to the womb.
That's nice. Is there a cat out there who, if asked who his best friend was, would say a car?
No, they can't say anything. No cat would say that.
Well, this has been productive.
Great job, guys, on Host Chat today. Once again, awesome to be back in the studio. I have a topic for a main event style debate, if you'd like.
We have no choice.
Yeah.
You really
That's
don't.
That's why we're here.
You're stuck here in front of a microphone. This topic, again, Steve, I'd like you to take the pro.
All right. Happy to.
1 minute opening statement.
Okay.
Ish. The gin blossoms are in the top 1% of artists of all time.
Okay, I don't... My whole argument, let's just rule out everything except the song Hey Jealousy, because that's the only thing I know about the gin blossoms. But that's a great song that's endured for probably 20 years. So right there, I think the gin blossoms are in the top, I don't know, 400 or 500 best bands of the last 20 years. You have one hit song that people still like hearing, you're in there. Now, in the last 20 or so years, music has been incredible. I think over all of the history of the world, there hasn't been that many bands that were that great. I think there is a curve where like there are more and more great artists each year because they're building on everything from the past. So I think a lot of the best artists of all time are going to exist in recent times. And I think the gin blossoms definitely take their place. I think when you tally up the world's artists, musicians, painters, writers, whatever, if you get to the level where you have one work that endures and is well known across an entire nation and probably the world, like the gin blossoms do, then yeah, you're in the top 1% of all time.
You're way overestimating the popularity of Hey Jealousy. Hey Jealousy has not endured that well. I don't hear Hey Jealousy on the radio. I don't see it in movies. I don't even hear people talking about it.
Hearing it in
your
head right now.
Hold on, opening statement. When people write lists of the best songs or albums of the 90s, no one ever mentions Hey Jealousy. If anything, people reference Hey Jealousy as stuck in the 90s. They say it's the type of song that was very common at the time with your Deep Blue somethings and your... maybe a little bit of your what was that band that's heaven let your light shine down. Who are those guys?
Is that Lit? Soul Train? Soul Asylum?
No, it was
do 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 boo. That wasn't Soul Asylum?
No, come on. Do do do
do boo boo. I know the song. It's in the top 1% of artists of all time, I think.
What?
Yeah, then it goes into that part.
I keep moving. Okay, so the Hey Jealousy is of that time. You can hear it in your head, as I can, because we were impressionable teenagers at the time when that song came out. People today, people who grow up on music today, couldn't even tell you who the Gin Blossoms were. They certainly don't know the song Hey Jealousy. There's other music from the time of Hey Jealousy that has endured well. There's rap music, there's harder rock, there's softer rock, but they were in this weird place. Oh, Third Eye Blind is another example, I might say. Although they've even endured better than the Gin Blossoms have. The other larger point is the fact that you can't name one other song other than Hey Jealousy, and by the way, neither can I, points to the bigger idea here, which is that the Gin Blossoms just weren't that good. That's the end of my opening statement.
Okay, they were good. Let's not get into quibbling about whether how great the Gin Blossoms are. They had one.
That's exactly what we have to argue, is whether they're in. you can't say they're in the top 1%, but don't worry about just how good they were. Well, you're not only saying they're great, you're saying they're exceptional. You're saying they're they're like an A+ by standard measurement.
1%. First of all, 1% is a ton. There have been a lot of artists over the history of the world. There's every craftsman of the Mayan culture, the guys making pots in Sumer,
you think that
people in ancient China making vases and playing their zither. These are all part of the world's artists. And
that's
all of
totally
them are
true.
Washed away, washed from the earth, gone forever.
That doesn't mean
the
that they weren't good.
Are still around.
Hold on. Slow your roll, because...
Okay, let me ask you this. How many musicians, well, just limited to musicians in ancient China, were as good as the Gin Blossoms?
Well, I think it's certainly reasonable that at least 10% of them were as good as the Gin Blossoms.
10%?
Yes, why
of
not?
The musicians in ancient China.
Just because we don't have a record of these people doesn't mean that they...
The Gin Blossoms are competing against the greatest... We're in a time now of... And the Gin Blossoms were existing in a time when it's very, very relatively easy to get into playing music.
The Gin Blossoms are not... You're making a mistake right off the bat. The Gin Blossoms are not of this time. They are of roughly 1995. And that was a time when it was markedly easier to get one hit on the radio and to be heard and to become a big band. I would also say that most of...
The competition was ferocious.
The American rock band is... The success of the American rock band is not based on how good the quality of your music is, as much as it is, there's a lot of image that goes into it. There's a certain riding of waves and themes and sounds of the time. Most artists, most craftsmen, as you might call them, are more. It is more important for them to perfect their craft. The great history of art is that you had to produce a masterpiece before you became a master. The Gin Blossoms didn't have to do anything like that. They didn't serve as an apprentice to other rock and rollers.
Well, you don't know that, first of all. You don't know anything about the history of the Gin Blossoms.
I don't.
And they did produce a masterpiece. Their masterpiece is Hey Jealousy.
Hey Jealousy does not stand...
That is a masterpiece of pop music.
Van Gogh's The Potato Eaters was his masterpiece.
That is a masterpiece of impressionistic painting. We don't have to take anything away from Van Gogh to give it to the
Gin Blossoms. It was his masterpiece. You're misusing the word. The idea of the masterpiece was that it demonstrated that you had become a master. It wasn't your finest work. What my point is that artists for decades and for centuries had to toil and work and study and be apprentices to better artists, and they learned their craft, and they worked harder than the Gin Blossoms did.
The Gin Blossoms no doubt did all of this. I'm sure they played in shitty
bands. No doubt did all of this?
In Ohio or Florida or wherever they're from.
They were probably 23 years old when they hit it big.
Well, a lot of... Okay, not
every... And you still can't name more than one song that they ever recorded.
Not every artist followed this pattern that you're talking about. A lot of craftsmanship and working away through an apprenticeship and producing a masterwork. Yes, that is a way a lot of artists develop. But that's not the way all artists develop. A lot of artists burst out in a flowering of creativity that we can't even really attribute to anything. It happens spontaneously. It happens often in youth. Sometimes it happens to older people. But there are cases of artists who just emerge, burst, bloom, and disappear. And that's what the Gin Blossoms basically did. And that doesn't take anything away from them as artists, that they didn't labor and toil in somebody's shop for 30 years.
So there's,
it doesn't reduce the magnificence of their artistic achievement.
You're not wrong that their success was short-lived and that they seem to become overnight sensations. And certainly the history of music is rich with examples of that kind of performer or band, but most of them are also better, way better than the Gin Blossoms. Doesn't put them in the top 1%. I mean, Jimi Hendrix sort of came out of nowhere. He was this sort of ethereal genius that seemed to appear in a purple flame, if you will, overnight. And okay, that was lame, but he, like the Gin Blossoms, his career only lasted like 4 years. He was gone as quickly as he came. He's in the top 1% of artists of all time.
I agree. He's in there too.
He's an absolute genius.
Him and the Gin Blossoms are up there in the Hall of Fame.
And how many? So give me some of the other the other part of the Gin Blossoms CV that you think puts them in this incredible Hall of Fame.
I'm resting it all on Hey Jealousy.
And what is it about Hey? When was the last time you heard somebody say, "You know what? I got to hear right now is that song Hey Jealousy"?
You don't need to because you're going to hear it.
People, you and I are. That's
you
not
hear
true.
It enough. The world. Produces,
I haven't heard that song in years.
The world
you can
gives
hear it
you Hey
in your
Jealousy
head.
2 or 3 times. A year because you need it that often.
The people, the world only gives it to you because you hang out with people who play it out of a certain sense of nostalgia. And
no,
when
that's
it comes
not true.
On,
you're hearing it in like Walmart or like you know what's it called, Rite Aid. That's where I'm most likely to hear Hey Jealousy is on the relatively benign music mix of like a drugstore or convenience.
Okay,
store.
Well, I would argue that there are at least a
Why?
Thousand.
Because it's,
what?
Why is it on that mix? Because it's so
oh, because it's
good
harmless.
And acceptable.
No, because it's harmless. It's innocuous. And there's other... I mean, if we're even just talking about bands, there's at least 100 other bands like that. I mean, to put them in the top... That's what's crazy is even in the universe of the type of music that goes on at Walmart, which is objectively not that good, I would say, they're way far away from the top 1% of those type of bands. I mean, To say that the Gin Blossoms are in the top 1% of the bands, I mean, I'm thinking of bands like the kind of stuff you hear on Jack FM or like elevator music.
Everybody on Jack FM is in the top 1% of music now. There's tons.
What are you talking
for
about?
For every one of those bands, there's 99 bands or musicians that just burned out and washed away that we include in the count of artists.
You haven't heard the Gin Blossoms. You have no idea how good those 1%. Bands are.
They weren't good enough to get on Jack FM.
But you know, I mean, okay.
Do you think there are a lot of great, like, Hey Jealousy level songs out there that you just haven't heard?
Yes, of fucking course there are. The music industry isn't a meritocracy.
You think
the
there
best
are tons
songs,
of songs that are as good as Hey Jealousy?
Yes, that I haven't heard? Yes, of course.
I disagree. I think
do you
the
know
music
how many
industry
millions
is,
of songs there are?
The music industry is probably pretty close to a meritocracy. You
are
go
you
out and
joking?
You play your songs, you can get people to hear them, people will respond to what they like. The music industry is just trying to make money off what people like. They're not manipulating the system. I mean, a little bit there. But basically, I think really good music, really talented artists get found.
That is so absurd that you think that. It almost makes me sad. Because
really?
So that is not how... I mean, music is so famously known for being style and like... surface
okay.
level driven over actual content.
Style and some of that stuff, like calling yourself the Gin Blossoms, all of that is part of the artistic performance of being the Gin Blossoms.
So calling, okay.
That's part
well,
of the act.
That's a great call, Ely, yeah. Because I'd like to see, if you're going to cement that as evidence.
If they'd call themselves the Nocturnal Kumquats, even if they'd written Hey Jealousy, we probably wouldn't have heard of them.
The idea, the Gin Blossoms is a terrible band name. It's awful. And the idea that you're going to enter that as evidence into part of what makes them the top 1%, I think it really hurts your cause.
This is a real judo-y debate, because everything you say, like, the Gin Blossoms are a terrible band name. Okay, great. Well, then why? How did they overcome that obstacle and become a band every single person has heard of?
Because they had one catchy
because
song that's not good.
That shows does you it, how great their song
does it
is.
Make them, that doesn't mean that they're better than 99 other bands. I mean, that's crazy.
I think it's time for closing statements.
When we make a count to figure out who is in the top
when
one,
when we make it to figure out a,
are you done?
Yeah.
You're 37 years old today.
Yep.
When we make a count of to figure out who is in the top 1%,
you did it again.
What?
When we make a
yeah,
to I'm, figure out the.
I'm going to talk about a count. That's how we're going to figure out who's in the top 1%, right?
Okay, go ahead.
To figure out who's in the top 1% of world artists, we make a count of all the world's artists of all time.
Right.
For every one that's as good as the Gin Blossoms, there has to be 99 that are bad. You're not as good. There has to be 99 bands or artists that don't level up to the Gin Blossoms. I think absolutely out of 100 bands or musicians of all time, the Gin Blossoms are going to be in the top 1%. There's going to be 99 that are inferior to them. To me, it's very simple. I would guess that the Gin Blossoms are top, probably in the top 0.01% of all musicians of all time. I think people out there, and unfortunately, Dave, I think you, don't realize how incredibly hard it is to achieve a catchy pop song that everybody wants to listen to. The Gin Blossoms did it, and that puts them in the top 1% of artists who've ever lived.
Davis.
The success of the band is not indicative of the quality of the artist. By the way, the band we were thinking of earlier is Collective Soul.
Yes.
They had hits like Shine and December.
Yes,
yes. I'm sure everyone listening at home knew that before we did. As I said before, most artists worked much harder at perfecting their art than the Gin Blossoms did. They're not...
You
want to talk, but you can't. These are closing statements, bud, and you just can't jump in like that. And rules are rules, and I see you steaming, but you just got to keep your little mouth shut. Okay, so as I said before, artists used to be better at their craft than they are now. The Gin Blossoms had one catchy song. There are catchy songs out there that you just haven't heard. This one piece of evidence that you keep pointing to doesn't make them one of the 1/100th of best artists of all time. It's crazy. There's even if you compare them just to the subset of other shitty sort of mid-tempo 90s bands, they don't come out well. I would say Deep Blue Something was a little bit worse than them, and I would say Collective Soul was a lot better than them. And those are just three off the top
wrong
of my
both
head.
Ways.
You think you
Gin Blossoms are better than Collective Soul and that Deep Blue Something, that's a song I would say is just catchy, that's not a real great song like Hey Jealousy.
That's what I'm saying. I said that the Gin Blossoms are better than the Breakfast at Tiffany's guys. Yeah, right? Isn't that what I said?
I think so.
We're done. We're done. Don't you feel
that the song, Hey Jealousy, is so evocative of that time?
Yes. It is.
Yeah, that's its strength, I think. Not a weakness.
Yeah. You know what's funny is... it's not funny, but this is the one story I can remember about the song Hey Jealousy. I don't know, Healy, if you remember growing up in the Boston area in the 90s, Kiss 108 FM was the the sort of pop radio station.
Uh-huh.
And when the Gin Blossoms first came out, they were actually seen as an alternative band. You know, that the idea was that they were alternative.
Okay.
Then they became super mainstream.
Okay.
But I remember a point in time where my friend Lauren said to me, what's going on? Music is getting so weird. Just yesterday I heard Hey Jealousy on Kiss 108.
It was a beautiful time. Boundaries were falling down.
Yeah.
That's what the 90s was about.
I also think that the name, sort of rolls off the tongue a little bit.
I totally agree.
You think it's a good name?
Yeah, pretty good name.
I think it kind of
It makes you picture something interesting. What is a gin blossom? Have I ever seen one? Where's that from? It's a flower.
Weirdly easy to remember.
Oh, you know what it is, though?
Tell me.
You don't know what a gin blossom is?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, you guys... Oh, for real?
For realsies.
Gin blossoms are what they call... Like Ted Kennedy, the stuff on the tip of his nose. Those were gin blossoms.
That's
when it's when your capillaries or whatever
level.
Just burst.
Meaning.
And you have a red face from... That's what I thought gin blossoms were.
Now I like it less.
Yeah. Yeah, it's stupid.
Now it's a bad name.
I saw Ted Kennedy speak one time, and I don't think people ever talk about this, but he was wasted. Definitely. Out of his mind. Drunk.
Yeah, he had a problem. I think
he did. Anyway. That's so great, though. Guys, thanks for being with us on The Great Debates today. I want to thank my friends, Steve Healy and Dave King.
Thanks, Ian, for the great topic.
Oh,
way to go, Ian.
Yeah, we're getting some merchandise. If you get a topic on Great Debates, you will get some kind of... I know we owe Kyle Haynes out there, and I think he's in St. Louis. We're getting some for you too, Kyle. Ian, we're working on
Kyle.
It.
We owe Kyle. We'll see you next time on The Great Debates.